Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to the book of Daniel, chapter 4. This is God's word. King Nebuchadnezzar, to the peoples, nations, and men of every language who live in all the world, may you prosper greatly. It is my pleasure to tell you about the miraculous signs and wonders that the Most High God has performed for me. How great are his signs, how mighty his wonders. His kingdom is an eternal kingdom. His dominion endures from generation to generation. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at home in my palace, contented and prosperous. I had a dream that made me afraid. As I was lying in my bed, the images and visions that passed through my mind terrified me. So I commanded that all the wise men of Babylon be brought before me to interpret the dream for me. When the magicians, enchanters, astrologers, and diviners came, I told them the dream, but they could not interpret it for me. Finally, Daniel came into my presence, and I told him the dream. He is called Belshazzar, after the name of my God, and the spirit of the holy gods is in him. I said, "Belshazzar, chief of the magicians, I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in you, and no mystery is too difficult for you. Here is my dream. Interpret it for me." These are the visions I saw while lying in my bed. I looked, and there before me stood a tree in the middle of the land. Its height was enormous. The tree grew large and strong, and its top touched the sky. It was visible to the ends of the earth. Its leaves were beautiful, its fruit abundant, and on it was food for all. Under it, the beasts of the field found shelter, and the birds of the air lived in its branches. From it, every creature was fed. In the visions I saw while lying in my bed, I looked, and there before me was a messenger, a holy one, coming down from heaven. He called in a loud voice, "Cut down the tree and trim off its branches. Strip off its leaves and scatter its fruit. Let the animals flee from under it and the birds from its branches. But let the stump and its roots, bound with iron and bronze, remain in the ground, in the grass of the field. Let him be drenched with the dew of heaven. Let him live with the animals among the plants of the earth. Let his mind be changed from that of a man, and let him be given the mind of an animal, till seven times pass by for him." The decision is announced by messengers. The holy ones declare the verdict, so that the living may know that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them to anyone he wishes and sets over them the lowliest of men. This is the dream that I, King Nebuchadnezzar, had. Now, Belshazzar, tell me what it means, for none of the wise men in my kingdom can interpret it for me. But you can, because the spirit of the holy gods is in you. Then Daniel, also called Belshazzar, was greatly perplexed for a time, and his thoughts terrified him. So the king said, "Belshazzar, do not let the dream or its meaning alarm you." Belshazzar answered, "My lord, if only the dream applied to your enemies and its meaning to your adversaries. The tree you saw, which grew large and strong with its top touching the sky, visible to the whole earth with beautiful leaves and abundant fruit, providing food for all, giving shelter to the beasts of the field, and having nesting places in its branches for the birds of the air. You, O king, are that tree. You have become great and strong. Your greatness has grown until it reaches the sky, and your dominion extends to distant parts of the earth. You, O king, saw a messenger, a holy one, coming down from heaven and saying, 'Cut down the tree and destroy it, but leave the stump, bound with iron and bronze in the grass of the field, while its roots remain in the ground. Let him be drenched with the dew of heaven. Let him live like the wild animals until 7 times pass by for him. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree. The Most High has issued against my lord the king. You will be driven away from the people and will live with the wild animals. You will eat grass like cattle and be drenched with the dew of heaven. 7 times will pass by for you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them to anyone he wishes. The command to leave the stump of the tree with its roots means that your kingdom will be restored to you when you acknowledge that heaven rules. Therefore, O king, be pleased to accept my advice. Renounce your sins by doing what is right and your wickedness by being kind to the oppressed. It may be that then your prosperity will continue. All this happened to King Nebuchadnezzar. 12 months later, as the king was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon, he said, "Is not this the great Babylon I have built as the royal residence by my mighty power and for the glory of my majesty?" The words were still on his lips when a voice came from heaven. "This is what is decreed for you, King Nebuchadnezzar. Your royal authority has been taken away from you. You will be driven away from people and will live with the wild animals. You will eat grass like cattle. 7 times will pass by for you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them to anyone he wishes." Immediately, what had been said about Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled. He was driven away from people and ate grass like cattle. His body was drenched with the dew of heaven until his hair grew like the feathers of an eagle and his nails like the claws of a bird. At the end of that time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes toward heaven and my sanity was restored. Then I praised the Most High. I honored and glorified him who lives forever. His dominion is an eternal dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the peoples of the earth are regarded as nothing. He does as he pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples of the earth. No one can hold back his hand or say to him, "What have you done?" At the same time that my sanity was restored, my honor and splendor were returned to me for the glory of my kingdom. My advisors and nobles sought me out, and I was restored to my throne and became even greater than before. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and glorify the King of heaven, because everything he does is right, and all his ways are just. And those who walk in pride, he is able to humble. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word.
Hi, this is Pastor Jim Wood of Abiding in Christ. Living in the mountains of East Tennessee, I'm surrounded by phenomenal beauty in every season of the year. My wife and I live on a mountainside that adjoins the Great Smoky Mountains National Park, the most popular, most visited of all the national parks in the USA. Our neighbors include bears and bobcats, foxes and raccoons, even possums and skunks. Just down the hill from our house is the beautiful campus of Ware's Valley Ranch, a miraculous place where God is busy changing lives from the inside out. On this program, you'll hear interviews, monologues, but mostly you'll hear the expository preaching that I do here at the ranch. Because I'm often speaking to a room full of children, you may occasionally hear background noises or illustrations and vocabulary chosen for a child's frame of reference. But the one thing I pray you will hear every time is God's Word, the eternal, inerrant Word which points us to Jesus. I'm delighted to partner with this station in bringing these messages to you, and I'd like to get to know you better as you get to know us. Please visit us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. Click on the link that says Contact Us, and let us hear from you. We'd love to know the station where you listen. And feel free to share any prayer requests as well. We actually do pray for the specific requests that folks send us. And we love hearing how God answers those prayers. Again, the website is pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
God is the one who lifts up one and puts down another. There was a time when I was growing up and I thought that in order to ascend to great office, you must really be some kind of special person. No. In fact, growing up, I had the opportunity to get to know some really big, famous people, athletes, all that kind of stuff. Turns out, every single one of them is human. And because they're human, they're all sinners. And because of sin, their lives are all broken. And it turns out, they're just like us. I've known people in show business, people in the media, people who made a fortune in business, millions of dollars. And every single one of them turns out to need a Savior. Because the great, important thing is not how much money you make, or what everybody else thinks about you, or whether or not you're famous. The really important thing, the really important thing, not one of the really important things, the really important thing is whether or not you know Christ. If you don't know Christ, you got nothing. If you know Christ, you don't have to be rich, you don't have to be famous, you don't even have to be good looking. You can have a joyful, wonderful, abundant life. Well, here was a guy, Nebuchadnezzar, who had reached the pinnacle of success. He was world famous. And not just as one of the players, but as the player. He was the guy. Everybody in his realm looked to him as the man. And he liked it. But he had a pride problem. And he was cruel to the oppressed. That's why Daniel says, you need to repent. And what that would look like is, renounce your sins, do what is right, and be kind to the oppressed. Be kind to the oppressed. Well, that was great advice, but Nebuchadnezzar didn't take it. Because why should he?
He's Nebuchadnezzar.
He's the guy who was able to say, I built this statue, and anybody who doesn't bow down to this statue is to be executed. We're going to throw him in the furnace. And then after God saves Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he says, okay, anybody who says anything bad about their God, he's going to be cut in pieces and his house reduced to rubble. I mean, this is a guy who loves to throw his weight around, loves to make sure everybody knows he can cause heads to roll. Okay? You better not mess with me because I can kill you. He loved that. He loved being that guy who alone really has the power of life and death. God does. And every bit of authority that we have here, we get from God. Romans 13 tells us that the reason we are supposed to submit ourselves to the governing authorities is because God is the one who is the authority, and all the other authorities on earth derive their just powers from Him. Now, here in this country, we say in our documents that our government derives its powers from the consent of the governed. What that means is we are a nation of rebels, going all the way back to the beginning, who basically say, we will only allow you to tell us what we are to do if it's what we want to do. And if we don't like what you tell us to do, we don't have to do it. If enough of us rise up and say, no, we don't like that, then
We just change our rulers. Okay? We get to vote people in and out of office. We don't have the divine right of kings in this land. We are a democratic republic. We have laws. I'm all for that. But if there's not agreement and commitment to a worldview that says service and sacrifice are necessary for this fabric to hold together, it's not going to work. The republic will be destroyed when Congress discovers that it can bribe the citizens with their own money. De Tocqueville said that in the early 1800s. I paraphrase, but that's almost a quote. Well, yep, it's happening. What are we to do? I would suggest that we, who are concerned, ought to do what Nebuchadnezzar was told he ought to do. Repent. Repent of our wickedness. Be kind to the oppressed. We need to repent. And by the way, I love the fact that this insert in the middle of Daniel's book is a letter from Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, to the peoples, nations, men of every language who live in all the world, may you prosper greatly. He now has a very positive outlook on life. It's my pleasure to tell you about the miraculous signs and wonders that the Most High God has performed for me. How great are his signs, how mighty his wonders, his kingdom is an eternal kingdom, his dominion endures from generation to generation. What is he now doing? He is not saying, I am the great and powerful Nebuchadnezzar. I have accomplished great things and everyone everywhere should know how great I am. He is right and he says, it is my pleasure to tell you about how great God is. It is now my joy to praise the Lord. What is giving him pleasure now that he's got more power than he had before? Remember at the end of the chapter? It says, after his sanity was restored, his position was even greater than it was before. But now he's not talking about how great his position is. Now that he has an even greater position than he occupied before, even more splendor than he had before, now he is focused on telling people about the greatness of God. I want to ask you a question. Are you focused on the greatness of God and proclaiming how wonderful he is? Let me tell you, God is more magnificent than any of the things in his creation and more magnificent than you and I can grasp. But we are so self-focused. Nebuchadnezzar was like that. He was so thrilled with who he was and the position that he had obtained and all the things that he had done. And after God gave him a dream that warned him of what was to come, instead of repenting of his pride and his wickedness, he walked right into the wrath of God. He walks out on the balcony. He looks over his land and he says, is not this the great Babylon I have built as the royal residence by my mighty power and for the glory of my majesty? How'd you like to work for that guy? Okay? Can you imagine? How'd you like to be married to somebody like that? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Yes, it's true. I am the greatest. It's not a good way to live. And it didn't last. Immediately, he lost his sanity. Now, there are all these pictures here of a guy who was living like an animal because he was thinking like an animal because he'd lost his sanity. But what I want you to understand is he lost his sanity before people could tell he lost his sanity. When you look at everything and you say, this is what I have done by my power for my glory, you're nuts. Okay? In other words, what we call sanity is the ability to make rational decisions, blah, 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 blah. And Nebuchadnezzar, in the view of people around him, was sane up until all of a sudden, for some reason, he lost his mind. What God did was peel back the veneer and show what he was really like apart from God's enabling power. You know what I can do apart from God? Nothing. I can't draw my next breath apart from God's power. Every day, all day, I keep declaring my dependence on God because I know that apart from Him I can do nothing. Every time I'm going to speak, I always pray and say, God, apart from You I can do nothing. I'm trusting You that I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I thank God all day long for the little things in life. I mean, stuff that you'd consider mundane. I'm saying, thank You, Lord. Thank You that worked out. Thank You I can do this. Thank You that I've got a car to drive. Thank You I've got a home to live in. I get up every morning. The first thing I do is I get out of bed, is I get on my knees and thank God for a good night's sleep and for the ability to get up and serve Him. And last night I had a good night's sleep. Night before, not such a good night's sleep. I still got out of bed, got on my knees, and thanked God for a new day and the privilege of serving Him. Whatever you're going through, you need to be thanking God for what you've got. You need to change your orientation and realize everything you've got comes from God. Nebuchadnezzar had the completely insane orientation of being self-focused and praising himself and doing stuff for his glory instead of being focused on the glory of God, his greatness, his awesome power, his majesty, his might. We still talk about Nebuchadnezzar today, but he's no longer in power. Do you know who is? I'll tell you who's in power. The Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men, and He gives them to anyone He wishes and sets over them the lowliest of men. The Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them to anyone He wishes. God is still in power. And all the people who are in government, whatever their role, President of the United States, Senate Majority Leader, House Majority Leader, whatever it might be, Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, it's all temporary. They're all temporary. What I'm telling you is this. If you set your sights on worldly achievement, you are behaving insanely. Well, I think we ought to have lofty aspirations. I do too. Set your sights on holiness. Desire God. Seek His face. Long to know Him more. Ask Him to change you from the inside out and conform you to the likeness of Christ, who did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but He laid down His life for us. He was obedient even to the point of death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted Him and given Him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that He is Lord. That's where we need to be focused. Nebuchadnezzar didn't get the full picture, but he came out of insanity to the point where now, instead of telling everybody how great he was focused on telling people how great God is. Because God's kingdom, His dominion, is an eternal dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the peoples of the earth are regarded as nothing. He does as He pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples of the earth. And no one can hold back His hand or say to Him, what have you done? You know what that means? God doesn't answer to you and me. Adrian Rogers, the late Adrian Rogers, dear godly man, said everybody wants to work for God. The problem is we all want to be consultants. Folks, we need to repent and we need to worship. And we need to adore the God who is God, always has been, always will be. And if we love and trust Him, our lives will be sane and blessed.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number. 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.